Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
PB with the night off here on the Hockey Show alongside Barstool Chief Tyler Rocky in talking all things Blackhawks and hockey with you today. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. Hawks fresh off of the win against the Sharks. They're about to drop the puck against Columbus in just a matter of minutes here, but lots to get to today, Chief. We got a little bit of movement on the trade front today as the
an old friend heading west.
That's right. Yeah. The deadline now, 30 days out. Also, the Olympics right around the corner. So this will be the last time the Hawks are in action for quite some time. So enjoy it while you have it because there's only a handful of games left in this month.
Yeah.
But that Olympic break right upon us here. How you doing? You're fresh off the plane from San Francisco and ready to talk a little puck.
I'm sore.
Are you banged up from the flag football?
Oh, yeah. The flag football was rough. Took a championship down, not to brag.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm almost 40 years old now, and when I have to like run and sprint and cut, my body just breaks.
Yeah.
So I'm hurting. I could use a little 3-week break, like the Blackhawks are going to get here. But yeah, Columbus in town tonight. You know, it's kind of an interesting little schedule here where they had Celebrini the last game. Mm-hmm. The Hawks looked great; they got the win there. And then they have Fantilli coming in tonight, who is the number 3 pick in Bedard's class. So he's playing against a lot of his peers. The only difference is that those two teams are sniffing around the playoffs. The Blackhawks are about 8 points out. So Columbus might be the hottest team in the league outside of Tampa Bay. So it'll be a nice challenge tonight. I hope everybody's revved up and ready to go. And then it's going to be very interesting after the break because we have a roster freeze right now. Mm-hmm. Then there's going to be a deadline. And then I think the Hawks are going to ship out some guys and then really kind of go full youth movement like we saw last year. So it should be fun to, maybe not fun, but interesting to see Frondell, maybe Roman Kantsarov, some of these guys that are not yet even in North America make their way to the Blackhawks this spring.
Yeah, we'll get into the Olympic stuff in just a little bit, and we'll talk about our expectations after the Olympic break as well. But as we take a look at what the Hawks have been doing leading into this break, and again, Columbus tonight, you had the win against the Sharks on Monday night at the UC.
A nice win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, 6-3 doesn't even really tell the story of how they dominated that game. And 6-3 is still a dominant win.
6-3, and they got, they had the edge in goal that night for sure.
Yes.
So the Sharks, they pulled their goalie after I think he gave up 4 goals on 7 shots or something like
that. Early second period.
Yeah. And Spencer Knight played great. So, you know, the Sharks are a year ahead of the Hawks in their rebuild in general. And they typically look like it. If their goaltending let them down in that game, but they're right in the hunt for the playoff. You would think that they're coming in Chicago like, hey, we need 2 points. And the Blackhawks did everything they could. They just lit them up and got a nice win because they have been sputtering. Mm-hmm. You know, they got off to such a great start. Myself and a lot of Blackhawks fans are starting to dream about playoffs and, oh, my God, like this is coming out of nowhere. And then Bedard goes down and it feels like everything has changed. So Bedard has picked it up a little bit, but the team in general still.
It's funny because this Olympic break would have been great like a month ago. For this team.
Yeah, they totally mistimed it. Yeah.
The way with the Bedard injury, the way the flu ran through this team, they could have really used this break like a month ago. And now, not to say they're riding with a little bit of momentum, because they're not. I mean, the Sharks win was good, but you had lost 5 straight leading into that.
Yeah, I think they're 3-5-2 in their last 10, so that's not going to get it done. And we've seen them go from 4 points out, 6, to now it's 8 or 10, so it's just that playoff dream is I think dead.
Yeah, it's a long shot at this point, but some of the things that we've seen, again, you're starting to see this team become a little more whole with the guys that are on the ice, getting Bedard back from injury, getting Nazar back from injury. Everyone's just kind of back out there, and even just some of the guys that have been elevated from Rockford too over the course of the season. So this is about as complete as we've seen this team really since the beginning of the season. And for me, as I look at this team, I kind of want to see on the second half, like after the break, as this team is young, like enter that young, dumb, don't know any better type of team. Because like we see that in a lot of sports where it's just like they don't know any better, and you've got a bunch of these guys that are like 25 and under. Mm-hmm. Can they just kind of ride some of that momentum and maybe you just shock a few really good teams and you pull off some wins that you're not supposed to, and you end up finding yourself probably not in the playoffs, but maybe you're knocking on the doorstep in like that next rung of teams.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that, and we saw it a little bit last year, right? So you had this, you know, they had this weird era of veterans, whether it was Corey Perry and Patrick Maroon and Alec Martinez, and then last year when they really kind of got rid of all those guys or diminished their roles in certain cases, and you brought up Oliver Moore and Renzel, and it was like, oh, okay, like and Levshinov, like you started to see like the youth became like the core of the team, and they started playing better, and it was more fun, and it seemed like they had, you know, better chemistry on and off the ice. And it led to some better results, and then they kind of used that with, and then hired Blashill and slung. They had a little bit of a slingshot heading into this year. They started off really hot. I'm wondering if they can kind of repeat that again this year, because I think this is going to be the end of the Connor Murphy era. What a sad era that was. I really love Connor Murphy, so, but he's the longest tenured Hawk. He's been here for 8 years now, or maybe 9 years. And so he'll probably be traded at the deadline, and Dickinson and a couple other guys too. But you're right. Like, we saw Nick Lardis come up and have some nice moments, and he's been sent back down. Levshinov is a scratch tonight. So to your point earlier about they could have used that Olympic break a month ago, it might not be the worst timing for them anyways, because I think when you saw Levshinov and Nazar and Bedard at the beginning of the year, the fresh legs are all looking great. It does feel like a good chunk of the team, whether it was the illness or injury or just fatigue, there's been a little bit of like a rookie wall or a young player wall. And I think kind of getting away for a week while the Olympics are going on, and then they come back and they get to basically have their full team. Only Teräväinen is their only Olympian going over for Finland in the Olympics. So you're going to have to you're going to be able to have another training camp where you can really hammer in on the details, on your power play, your penalty kill, and I think that's going to lead to some success here coming out of the break. They'll be rested, fully healthy, and kind of back the details a little bit with Blashill. We could really get his hands on him for about 10 days before the NHL ramps back up.
Yeah, 312-332-3776 if you want to join the conversation here. Blackhawks leading into the Olympic break, just one more game left. They've got the Blue Jackets tonight. As you take a look at some of the different components of this team. Obviously, Blashill, young coach. You have Spencer Knight, who you acquired at the trade deadline last year and has been slotted in as one of your as your starting goalie this year. And then a lot of these younger guys too, with Oliver Moore, Nazar, obviously Bedard. We've seen a little bit more of him in his Hawks career, but you brought up Lardis, another good name there. Sam Renzel's back up the other night. He gets a goal against the Sharks. As you look at some of these younger guys, is this where you thought they would be at this point? Like, do you, obviously they've had a couple of really dry stretches, especially when Bedard was out for a little bit. But is this kind of where you expected this group to be?
Deep into the season, in the standings?
Maybe not even in the standings, but like, what does the eye test tell you?
Yeah, I think the eye test. Look, I've kind of it's kind of like pre Bedard injury and post Bedard injury. Post-Bedard injury, I'm kind of just throwing in the bin. Okay. Yeah. Like that, I'm almost just not even counting that. But that first run where they were, you know, they're in the top three in the Central and they're playing great. The energy, you think about way back to that game against St. Louis where Nazar had the goal and he comes out of the scrum and he's celebrating. They won 8-4. And it was like, this team is so good and so fun. And then I do think, you know, you see a lot of teams historically come out of the young teams come out of the gates hot, and then the big dogs, you know, the old Wiley vets kind of over the course of an 82-game season, they just kind of know how to get it done. And I think the Hawks are still learning. I would say they're probably ahead of where I thought they would be. And that's really just because Bedard took such a huge leap in that first half of the year, where it's like I was wondering what level of star he could be. He really kind of shut me and anybody else who was questioning him up, because he was so electric, and he was top five in scoring, and he was playing the right way. So that kind of takes them from a team where you're like, yeah, I think if all these guys get the young guys in, they can eventually be a playoff team. Now, like, that ceiling has been raised. So now it's just like you need everybody. You need Nazar to produce more. I really like what they have in Oliver Moore. You know, Sam Rinzel's been up and down. Lev Chenault's been up and down. But you expect that from defensemen. So I think they have hit on a pretty high percentage of these draft picks. And we're only like 20% of the way there. So adding a Frondell, adding Mason West, and some of these other guys who are still, a lot of their prospects are still probably 2-3 years away. And they've gotten, you know, a long way with just this initial wave of prospects.
Yeah, and that's like the whole draft and develop idea.
It takes a long time in the NHL. Does, yeah. It's not like the NFL where you can,
it's more like baseball.
Yeah, very probably. Much more similar to baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a much more extensive minor league process to ultimately get to the show. But yeah, I'm encouraged with what I've seen. And the Bedard stuff, I agree with you, because I was kind of with you where you start to get to that point, the end of the second year, and you're questioning things a little bit. Like, okay, he's not McDavid.
Certainly not. But then he came
out of the gates firing this year, and it looked, for a little bit, it was him and Celebrini going back and forth for the points lead.
Yeah.
Then the injury happens, unfortunately, so he's not going to...
On a fluky freak play.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's not like there's been some chronic injury that he's dealing with. Right. You're right. It's a fluky play, and then he's dealing with the flu, and it kind of threw out the rhythm of the whole team, it felt like.
Yeah, and more than the points, too, because his offense has never been in question. He's been a dog. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what you need. You can't just be like a passive superstar. Right. Like, you have to play the right way if you're going to be that frontline center. And you know, they don't really take him off of faceoffs. So obviously they have because of the injury, but like, he was taking big draws. He's playing important minutes. It was like completely unsheltered. And then, you know, he would have games when he was really going where they played the Avalanche and it was, you know, they were doing best on best. It was McKinnon against Bedard, mm-hmm. and Bedard more than held his own. So if you can do that against the Nate Dog, then you're a top five player in the world. And I really think Canada did him a disservice by not including him, because he earned it this year.
Yeah, let's talk about that when we come back. Olympic break on the horizon here. There was the swap that was made for injury. We'll discuss Bedard being left off of the Canadian team for the second time this season.
Double cut.
312-332-3776 if you got a thought on that as well. It's the Hockey Show brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Chevy Drive Chicago.
You're listening to the Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports.
On the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Matt Grizzly, Table Teravainen, Bertuzzi in front, Teravainen, Bedard scores! Connor Bedard on the power play, the Hawks make it 1-0.
That ended a 10-game dry spell on the power play there for Bedard the other night, for the team the other night.
It got real ugly, because I think there was a stretch where they were 0-25 or 0-26. So, yeah, like I was saying in the last segment about having a little training camp with Blashill every day before the NHL season resumes, not the worst idea.
312-332-3776. Yeah, it's almost like with the way that their power or their penalty kill has been, it's been the best in the league.
Been incredible.
But then you've got the flip side, and you're talking about a team that's been hovering pretty much in the 20s for their power play offense, and it's just been a nightmare. So
yeah, and I feel like Bertuzzi has kind of cooled a little bit.
Yeah.
He was such a driving force. He's had an unbelievable year, but his shooting percentage was near his career high. So he had to cool off eventually, because some of that is puck luck. So I think that's maybe part of the equation here, but it feels good to say this, because we haven't been able to say it for a long time. They have too much talent to have a power play this bad.
Yeah.
You know, they have Rinzel or Levchenov, whoever you want. Grizzly's been great in that role at D. When you have guys like Moore and Ryan Green, who we never really talk about him, but he's been a really nice young player too, Bedard, Nazer. So like Nick Lardis is like a power play guy when he's up. They have too much talent. Great problem to have, but it's like now like you're start. It feels good to have like expectations for the roster again.
Yeah, I think it is also interesting too with the all these young guys that are out on the power play units too. I don't know if they totally know how to play together yet.
I think that's a good observation.
And that's something that, like you said,
yeah.
Olympic break, when these guys finally are allowed to be back and practicing together, get that kind of training camp 2.0,
mm-hmm.
that'll probably get cleaned up a lot more.
Yeah, I hope so. And then you start snapping it around a little bit. And some of it is just like, hey, that is the one thing the Blackhawks are lacking. Is that like genuine net front kind of guy who can take the goalie's eyes away, crash, hop on loose pucks, and bang home rebounds. And that kind of guy creates space for guys like Bedard and Nazar too. So they need a little bit more of that. You would hope that that is coming in the form of Anton Frondell, Marek Vaneker. They have some of the AJ Spellacy. This next wave of Blackhawks prospects are all big boys. They're all 6'2", 6'3", 200 pounds. Some of them are 6'6". Nestor Cell's 6'6". Mason West is 6'6". So when you see more Nazar Bedard, and they're all 5'10"-ish,
yeah.
If you're being generous, and 180 pounds, if you're being generous, that next wave of Blackhawks forwards helps balance the roster a little bit. So you can kind of muck it up and play ugly on a power play if you have to.
Well, it almost seems like they play at the same speed. Those guys too.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like you get a little bit of a bigger dude out there on the ice, slow things down. Yeah. It probably helps things out.
You look at a guy like Tom Wilson, right? Like he's for Washington. Like they have a ton of, you know, they got Strome and they got Ovi, obviously. But Tom Wilson scores a ton of goals for that team on the power play simply by just parking his butt right in front of the net and bullying guys out of the way and getting on loose pucks and burying. So you do need that element to your power play because. It's great to have all these skill guys where you snap it around and Bedard has these highlight goals. Sometimes you just go cold. And when you go cold, you got to go simple and it's just pucks on net and take the goalie's eyes away and kind of hope for the best. So if they can add that to the roster, I think they'll be better off. And it's one way or another, it'll be coming.
Yeah, before we get to Team Canada in the Olympics and Bedard being left off again, let's real quick take Brett in Lockport. What's going on, Brett?
Hockey Barstool, happy Hockey Wednesday, boys.
What's going on?
I'm doing well. Real quick, I just wanted to kind of pick your guys' brain on Connor Bedard's contract negotiations, what's going on with that, and with his injury that he just came back from. Will that delay both sides for negotiating, both the Blackhawks and Bedard, going forward? So I'll hang up and listen on the other line, boys.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brett.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's one of those things that I have so little concern about. I don't really think about it too much because they have so much money in cap space.
You've got to hit a floor.
You have to hit a floor. And it's basically like you can go to Bedard and be like, do you want $14 million a year? Do you want $15, $16? Kirill Kaprizov just got $17. You want $17? They'll give him whatever he wants. I hope that it's communicated being like, hey, if you take $17 in 3 years, your wingers might not be quite as good as what they could be. But he'll get whatever he wants, and quite frankly, I thought that he earned that. If he's going to be a top five player in the league and he's demanding $17 million, then I guess you got to pay him. I would not be totally shocked if an extension was reached over the Olympic break based on a couple conversations. So I think that there's been some preliminary discussions. I think that this is a natural break, and it wouldn't shock me. I'm not saying it's like imminent, but I think that there's been discussions, and one way or another, it'll be done. Either it'll be done in February, or it'll be done in the summer, but he's going to be a Blackhawk for the next 4 to 8 years.
Yeah, because it's interesting heading into the year, and it's not like there was a fear that he was never going to be signed, because you obviously had the investment, the luck that went into getting the chance to have the investment of the number one overall pick, but... Then it comes to that next part that you mentioned of, all right, how do you want a roster construct around you? And you almost let him play GM a little bit.
Yeah, and it's like, you have to make that clear. Be like, while we have infinite, seemingly infinite cap space. Now, it won't be like that forever because Lefschenau's going to need a deal and Renzel's going to need a deal. You already have Nazar's deals kicking in. Oliver Moore, all these guys.
Well, at a certain point, you have to sign a big-time free agent probably to really put, this whole thing together.
More than likely trade for one because the big free agents just don't hit the market anymore. So you'll but somebody with a large cap hit. Whether it's Brady Tkachuk or that's my dream or somebody else, like that's going to have to happen too. So you're right. It's like he can justifiably, in my opinion, ask for 17 and get it. And I wouldn't even blame him or blank or whatever. The big question for me heading into the year in the last year of his deal was, oh man, I hope they don't overpay him. Because if he got 17 million based upon his name and potential and perform the way he had his first 2 years, then all of a sudden, like, that's a bad contract. If he's a top five player and he makes $17 million, God bless.
Yeah, you blank know? Check for you.
Right, exactly. So I think that would be fine. So it's like you just – it's almost like you just want to know. So, like, the sooner you get that deal done, the sooner you can start making plans to build around it. But it's like, let's get that deal done so we can start looking at trade options and looking at roster construction around it. But it's like – or how much extra money do we have to play with?
Yeah. All right, let's get to some of the Olympic stuff here because we got the news yesterday that Anthony Cirelli will be out with an injury for the Olympics. So that left a spot open on Team Canada, and Sam Bennett from the Florida Panthers will be the replacement. So now it is not once but twice that Connor Bedard has been passed over. Now, the first time he was coming off the injury and he wasn't quite looking like himself. So, not that it's something that you and I would agree with, but at least you understand it to a degree.
Yeah, the thing that was crazy about that is that the GM of Team Canada, Doug Armstrong, did a press conference and goes, nah, the injury wasn't a factor. Well, it's like, well, then you're an idiot because he is clearly a top five player, not just in Canada, but in the world. So, that never made any sense to me. There was a rumor that John Cooper... because Sorelli's a Tampa guy, that John Cooper was banging on the table to get Sam Bennett included as well. Sam Bennett had the fight in the Four Nations, and he's been a huge playoff performer for the Florida Panthers, obviously. John Cooper really wanted Sam Bennett. And so it's not totally surprising. Sorelli's kind of a feisty, nasty guy. Bennett's obviously got that in his locker, too. So it's more of a – it's not like a – like exact like for like with that swap, but more similar than Cirelli for Bedard.
Yeah.
I do hope it comes down to a game where Canada's down 2-1 and they just can't buy a goal. And it's like, man, it would have been nice to have 98 out there. And it just bites them in the butt. But they have so much offensive firepower with Crosby, McKinnon, McDavid.
Like he's their Isaiah Thomas now. Where with the 92 Dream Team, like I met the criteria, and then I got left off.
That's not a bad point. I don't know that anybody is actively campaigning against him the way that Jordan Dany's doing against Isaiah. But, yeah, I think you could make that argument. I mean, it's not a bad comp where it's like, hey, because they said to him, if you perform, like, you will, you know, we're going to take the best 25, 26 guys or whatever it is. He did that, and then they left him at home. So, I'm very excited for the Olympics. We'll see how it goes. I'm part of me is glad that he didn't make it.
Just for the rest, recuperate, get the training, in practice with the guys.
Yeah, and I think that Olympics is going to be a war. So I'd like him to be fully healthy and finish the year strong and not, you know, I think a little bit of a reset's a good thing for him and the whole team.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty more Olympics for Connor Bedard. Too.
Yes. Yeah.
Plenty more.
Yeah. Health assumed. There is no way he's not on the next one. He'll be there in 2030. I don't know where that Olympics is, but he will be on. Oh, I think it might be in Shanghai or Beijing or something like that. But he'll be on that team for sure.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. You want to talk a little bit of Olympic hockey with us? I'm like on the heels of last year's Four Nations. I feel like I'm a little more rejuvenated for Olympic hockey.
Love that.
And the Four Nations is like what's kind of piquing my interest. And I remember the last time I really got revved up for Olympic hockey was the TJ Oshie.
Yeah, 2014.
But it was like the one after that because it's like I remember that game being epic. So the next batch are all going to be epic too. Like I think I was probably like seven or six what was that, 2014? So I was 17 years old.
Okay.
So I wasn't like thinking all the way there.
Well, and then they snatch it from us too.
Yeah.
Which is part of, they had the CBA problem, which the NHL stopped sending NHL
That's
players.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'm not watching this.
Right.
Like these guys is like watching men's league basically.
But you got them back now, and on the heels of the Four Nations, I think it's going to, not that the Olympics doesn't already draw the casual fan in, but I think it's like even more so now after seeing what happened in that Four Nations.
And I'll be honest, in 2022 and probably 2018 as well, I am a diehard hockey fan. I love hockey. I watch college. I watch World Junior. I watch, you know, I'll watch a high school game. I watch everything. I didn't watch 1 second of Olympic hockey those last two Olympics because the NHL wasn't involved. So this is truly best on best. It's a great blend of like young and old and guys in their prime where you still have like Crosby out there.
Yeah.
Like it feels right that Crosby's going to have the C on his chest for Canada. So it's going to be an awesome tournament. I'm sad there's no fighting because that was such like a spark plug for the Four Nations. So you won't have that in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. It's banned.
But I almost don't need that in the Olympics. Like, the Olympics is like, I don't know, it feels like a little more executive. You know what I mean? Where it's like the Four Nations, we can scrap it up a little.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're probably right. And I know that there are people who be like, you're a meatball for this. I'm always in favor of fighting in hockey. Like, we had the outdoor game over the weekend in Tampa with the goalie fight.
Yeah.
Their Tampa Bay's calling their goalie White Tyson because he just knocked out Jeremy Swayman. So it's like, I think that is a differentiator for hockey where you have like the ability to have combat sports in the middle of the game, and it makes it very exciting. So I wish there was fighting in the Olympics.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk a little more Olympics. Also, the trade deadline. We're 30 days out, but a big move today with Artemi Panarin going to the Los Angeles Kings. We'll discuss that and some of the moves that we could see the Blackhawks make before that trade deadline in early March. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on in, it's the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago.
I know, that guy's wide open.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know, this is really where you can see a guy, like right here.
Yep.
He should have been driving the whole time right there.
Donato almost scores! Ryan Donato, what a goal!
Celebrini gave it away to Murphy.
Good read there by Murphy.
Here's McKayev, right in, backhand, rebound and score! Another one for Ryan Donato! And the Hawks take a 6-3 lead.
That first goal was sick.
When I first saw it, I was like, hey, Bedard doing Bedard things.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait,
and then
nope.
The nine wasn't on the jersey there.
It was Ryan Donato. So credit to him. He's, you know, he got a big contract last summer after he had a career year, 30-something goals. He's going to be an important piece going forward just because if you want him on your power play, he can do that. But he's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, but just a smart guy, Harvard guy, very valuable piece that you can move up and down your lineup.
Yeah. By the way, Hawks currently trailing 2-0 to the Blue Jackets near the end of the first period there in Columbus.
I think if the playoffs started today and the Blue Jackets were in, the way that they're going, you might just put them in the finals. Like, they are the hottest team in the league. I mean, Tampa is 18-1-1 in their last 20. But outside of that, I think the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, like teams like them and Colorado, they're one seeds.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. So Columbus is still on the outside looking in of the playoff picture, but they've won 6 straight. They've won 9 out of 10. Looks like it's about to be 7 straight. So, yeah, I don't know. They made like one minor move, and then they hired Rick Bowness out of the TV booth, and all of a sudden the Jackets are shouting distance of a playoff spot. They're 5 points out of the last wild card spot, but it's like it doesn't seem like there's any slowdown coming for that group.
You want to talk about a team who the Olympic breaks come in at the worst possible time?
Yeah, they're like, can we keep playing? We'll play games in Milan too. Like, we'll just let us keep playing.
Yeah. We'll get to the trade deadline in just a moment. In case you missed it today, Artemi Panarin was traded from New York to LA, so he'll be joining the Kings on the other side of the break. 312-332-3776. Real quick, Tom's in New Jersey. What's going on, Tommy?
Hey, guys, happy Wednesday, and greetings from the frozen tundra here. First of all, Tyler, you talk about jack of all trades. You're doing it all. The morning show, afternoon, now you're here on the hockey show. Congratulations. I'm proud.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
And Barstool Chief, I think there's a Notre Dame grad that's in the Winter Olympics on the women's bobsled team. I think she was a track champion, and now she's on the bobsled team.
All right, great. Good for her.
As far as hockey discussion, you mentioned that there's no fighting in the Olympics, obviously. Are there any other rule changes that, you know, are not, you know, that's going to be different than the NHL? And how likely is it to be a U.S. and Canada final?
I think it's extremely likely that it'll be USA and Canada. They are just the two most talented teams. I could envision a scenario where Canada's goaltending lets them down in a game against Sweden or somebody like that in a semifinal. But the way it's shaping up, that those are the two best teams top to bottom, I fully expect it to be United States against Canada in the gold medal game. As far as the rules, that's a good question, because like I said, I haven't watched international hockey in a long time.
And the rules do change, like Olympics to Olympics, too. Like, they'll experiment with some stuff. That's in pretty much all the sports.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up right now, but you know what? I'm not going to. I'll find out when the games start next week. I'll adjust on the fly. We'll do it on the fly.
All right. Well, getting into the trade deadline here. So the move today, Artemi Panarin going from the Rangers. They had sat him out the last couple of games leading into the trade, and he goes out to L.A. now right before this Olympic break. And there were a couple teams that were interested, but at the end of the day, Panarin had the no-movement clause in his contract, mm-hmm. and the only team he wanted to go to, it seemed like, was L.A.
Yeah, I think he's going to absolutely hate it there. They play the most boring, slow-down trap. Like, watching the L.A. Kings is so difficult. Now, he's still such a dynamic player that maybe he changes the way that they do things out there, but if they're just plugging him into that lineup, he'll probably help them get in the playoffs. They're on the outside looking in right now. They're a point behind the Seattle Kraken. I do think that LA is better than both wild card teams right now, both the Kraken and the Mammoth. So I think they'll be in, and then they will be summarily swept in the first round against probably the Edmonton Oilers, like they do every single year. And that'll be that. And then Panarin's a free agent, because I don't believe he signed an extension.
I think he did.
Oh,
I think he got 2 years.
Extension.
I think he got 2 years, yeah.
Excuse me, I was flying
today. Excused.
So let's see. I just want to see what the number was.
Yeah, they added 2 years
at $11 million a year. Good for him. That's robbery. But, you know, they didn't give up much to the Rangers either. I believe Liam Greenchery, who is one of their probably the best prospect they have, and a third round pick, but it was just time for that Rangers experiment to end. So we'll see how it goes. I'm surprised. That's one of those things where it's like the player wants LA, and so he makes it happen. I don't think it's stylistically going to be a fit, but that's the first big domino that had to go, and they got it right done before the roster freeze here.
Now, when I saw the move today, I was thinking to myself, like, was this a guy, and again, he had the no movement clause, so he got to pick his destination if he was even going to get traded. But is this someone that, you know, this Blackhawks team maybe could use, like, another veteran presence? Would it have been something that you think would have been worthwhile? Because you're talking about bringing in, like, a more veteran guy, and obviously it would be a reunion with the franchise, which the Hawks are no stranger to.
Historically,
they've done this a number of times. Teravine is a great example of that on the current roster. But is this something that you think would have helped this team maybe not make the push all the way to the playoffs, but if they had tacked on the 2 years too?
Yeah.
You're talking about it's a step in the right direction, because they've done this where they've tried some of these other guys to bring in and just they don't deliver. You got Panarin, who's not too far removed from being an all-star.
Yeah, I mean, and an MVP. I mean, I just don't think he's the right player profile. I think it's also a weird time for them to go shopping. Assuming that he would have agreed, which I don't think either of us do, I think that he would have agreed to a trade with the Blackhawks. I don't think he makes sense at this juncture. If there are other players, like, you know, Buffalo has turned into a juggernaut somehow too, but like, I love the idea of Alex Tuch. So Alex Tuch, I don't believe he's signed an extension yet. But it's like a bigger power forward type player to plug into that top six feels like something that they desperately need. Adding another 5'10 skill perimeter type guy, just not the right fit right now.
It's kind of like what the Bulls are doing.
The Bulls are just going to play
guards, right?
Play 10 guards. Yeah. I saw a thing that the tallest guy on the Bulls roster is 6'9".
6'9", yeah. They're like a college basketball team right now.
Yeah. So, credit to Kyle Davidson for not going down that route because they do, and he has drafted accordingly, trying to have a little bit more roster balance. But this is one of those things where it'd be like a luxury pickup. I would be excited that, you know, it's another great player, but it's like, it's, I don't think it's the right fit right now.
Yep. All right. 312-332-3776. If you want to jump on into the conversation, we'll explore what moves we could see the Hawks make on the other side of the trade deadline, about 30 days away. It's the Hockey Show, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Chevy, drive Chicago.
Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief
on the AM at 1000, on the FM at 100.3 HD2, on your phone through the ESPN Chicago app. The Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
Call us or tweet your comments to at ESPN1000, The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Why'd they get rid of the fighting? It's the best part of the old version.
I think kids were hitting each other or something, man.
Yeah, but you know what, Mike? You can make their heads bleed on this one.
No fighting at the Olympics this year.
None. It's a shame.
Yep. It's not the Four Nations.
Gotta make, I mean, like the clip from Swingers, like, it's better when you can make people's head bleed.
Right.
That's a fact.
Trade deadline 30 days away in the NHL. We saw a big one today with Artemi Panarin going from New York, the Rangers, to L.A. But now we kind of center in on what the Hawks could be doing. And what do you think about, because again, the Hawks probably more sellers than buyers. But they did a little, not, I don't want to say a little bit of both last year, but it was a sell
with
Seth Jones. And then but you brought in Spencer Knight, who ended up being your goaltender of the future.
Yeah. And like Spencer Knight was a very highly regarded prospect. It was kind of a weird thing where they drafted him, I want to say 10th overall. And then a week later, they signed Bobrovsky to an 8-year deal. Mm-hmm. So eventually, like, his path was just always going to be blocked by Bob.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, surplus, and the Hawks, the fact that Davidson doesn't get enough credit for that. Getting a first-round pick and the goalie of the future back for Seth Jones, home run of a trade.
Yeah,
I would be shocked if there's a trade like that out there right now.
Does it feel like it's going to be a quieter deadline for the Hawks?
I think there's potential for some guy. Like, I do think that Connor Murphy will move. I think Connor Murphy probably wants to move also. Where it's like he's been in the league forever now. He's never been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like Connor Murphy deserves to play in the playoffs. So I think somebody will pick him up. He's having a pretty good year too. Like he's been a nice player under this Blashill system. So he can help somebody in a third pair, penalty kill, that kind of thing. So I think he'll be gone. I could see Jason Dickinson going. I could see Ilya Mikheyev going. But at some point it's like, do you want – so you want those two guys back specifically because their contracts are expiring. But Mikheyev's been very good for this team.
Well, the other thing too is this team's not hurting for draft picks.
That's the other. So like in a way, you almost have too much.
Yeah, like what was it? I'm looking at it right now. 5 in the first two rounds next year.
Yeah, 2 firsts and 3 number 2s.
Yeah.
So
plus your own third.
Plus your own third. And I do have a theory that this is going to be the big summer for Davidson, where he'll. Because I think, they have 3 first-round picks last year, you know, after some moving and shaking. Mm-hmm. So at some point, there's only so many roster spots, both at the NHL level and in Rockford.
Right, and you've got so many of these young guys already, not just playing, but, like, developing, too, and they're at the NHL level. Like, you can only bring on so many picks.
Right, so at some point, do you just push your chips in and say, hey, we'll give you a Korchinski, a couple of, you know, first this year, first next year, and a second, and see what you can fetch for that. Because there's still obviously glaring holes on this team. They need a top six center. Probably. Okay, like the whole Nazar, is Nazar a center, is he not discussion? We'll see how that plays out. Oliver Moore is now playing pretty well at center too, but you need some bigger bodies. Yeah. You need some bigger bodies down the middle for playoff wars to come. So at some point you do have to, you can't just collect assets forever. Right. You have to turn them in and get something of value. So I think the summer is good. So even if they, you know, like, we picked up a fourth here, we picked up a, you know, a future one, something like that. It's all, I'm all for like gaining currency to put as much together as you can to go get a big fish this summer.
Yeah. And it feels like, I think you're right. Like this could be the big summer where a trade happens because you gotta, you'll sign Bedard at some point, but you gotta hit that floor. You make a big move. It's just like, it's almost like the kind of the rookie quarterback conundrum where you've got a chance to maximize with all the cap space in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And you've got a team that's not knocking on the door, but you can
there's
see it coming.
There. There's
you can see
there.
It coming.
It's almost like you had the Taves and Kane rookie year where I think they missed the playoffs, but at the end of the year, like they're like, oh man, the building's rocking. Chicago's a world class city. They got these two kids. Plus the other young kids they had at the time. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know what, Brian Campbell, who never would have had a shot at signing in Chicago as the premier free agent defenseman, now Chicago's pretty attractive. You fast forward 2 years, you win the Stanley Cup. And Chris Wall Huey was in that same class, free agent class. Didn't work out as well. But still, it was like, I can't believe they got him.
Yeah.
And then Marian Hossa the following year. So I think with Bedard ascending, this doesn't look like a dead market anymore to guys who are like, I want to go somewhere where I can win. I think the Hawks have enough to sell where it's like, you do have an elite goalie. You do have an elite forward. You have this crop of good young defensemen who are big and mobile. And you got a coach that people really respect. So Blashill, you know, he was with the Wings for 8 years. He's coached college. He's coached junior. He's been a head coach in the NHL. He's coached in the AHL. He was John Cooper's assistant coach in Tampa. Like, his resume is damn near perfect, okay? Minus the record. the record's not perfect. That's kind of
That's something you straighten out, hopefully, over the next decade.
That's coming. But it's like, I think he is very well respected as a coach. And so I think if you're a guy who is like, I'm stuck in this, you know, you see it more in basketball where guys kind of force their way out. But it's becoming more frequent in hockey. I think Chicago this summer has become a viable destination in a way that it hasn't been in the last 8 years.
Yeah. And I think, too, with the assets this team has, you don't even need to have someone try to force their way out or upset the apple cart somewhere. You can get a Godfather offer, but you could give them a damn good one that it's like, it's tough to say no to.
I put out a trade package on Twitter that everybody hated. Senators hated it. Blackhawks fans hated it. Where I had, like, you know, four prospects and a couple of picks going for Brady Tkachuk. And I was looking at that prospect list, and I'm like, these are all good players with futures. I wouldn't miss a single one of them. Mm-hmm. So, to your point, because they are so deep and loaded, and it's like, just if you have to overpay to get in a guy like that who can be in, like, fill a genuine need and play in the top six, go get them. And if, like you said, a Godfather offer, go do it.
Yeah, because this feels like this team is knocking on the door, and like next year, the way that I kind of look at it, playoffs are an expectation that this thing is rising.
Correct. And it's like, if you look at the West has been kind of stagnant, right? So it's Vegas has been there, Edmonton's been there. And then I don't think the three teams in the Central, Colorado, Minnesota, Dallas, are going anywhere. But then it's like that kind of like, what's going on with Anaheim, Utah, Seattle, L.A.? I think Nashville's in a weird place where they just – Barry Trotz just resigned, but not right away. He's like guiding him through the rest of the year, but he's announced he's retiring. Mm-hmm. So it's like I think that there's an opportunity – for some of these young teams like Anaheim, San Jose, and Chicago to really take that next step and get themselves in the playoff mix. And if they continue to develop, the Blackhawks should be right in the mix. Like, they have more talent than Seattle right now. Seattle just plays they're pros. Like, they just, they know how to win. They have a lot of veteran guys, like, know how to win. But they play, like, a system that's boring, kind of like the LA Kings. And, you know, I think that that's a team where it's just, like, when you look at the names and the talent, the Hawks have more talent. And as they learn how to play, they will jump over some of these teams.
Yeah. So that's the hope. And the trade deadline about 30 days away in the NHL. All right, Chief, this has been fun.
Yeah, thanks for doing it.
Of course, anytime. Talking a little hockey with you. The Hawks hoping to get back and finish strong after the Olympic break. Olympics are going to be fun. That's all coming up
Can't wait.
A week. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun like month of hockey here, even though the Blackhawks don't take the ice until the very end of the month.
11 a.m. Puck drops. Sign me up for that, too.
Exactly. It's like a sweet for what we do. It's like the sweet spot of watching sports.
Yeah.
It's why, like, I don't know if you like watching golf. I love watching golf because it's just
soccer
Soccer, that's perfect. It's just on.
Yeah,
and you got that, so you're gonna have that with the Olympics coming up.
I don't know. It's just on.
It's just on.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just good background noise. All right, that's gonna do it for us here on the Hockey Show, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Chevy drives Chicago. Thanks to Jake Santos for producing today's show. PB will be back next time around. Thanks so much for listening. You missed anything, check it out on the Hockey Show tab of the ESPN Chicago app for the podcast. For Barstool Chief, I'm Tyler Rocky. Talk to you next week.